Well, we are preparing to begin the season of Lent. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about that in case you're not familiar with that. Some of you may have grown up in liturgical churches, and so you know exactly what Lent is. And some of you may have grown up in Protestant or non-denominational churches, and you might be like, yeah, I've heard about that. I saw people with some ashes on their forehead, and I always wanted to know what that was. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. How many of you guys already know what Lent is? Raise your hand. Yeah, it's like when you give somebody money, you lent them some. I lent them $5. No, the word Lent itself is actually derived from Anglo-Saxon word lenten, which means spring. And lenten tid actually means spring tide and is also the word that we get March from. So when we come into March, it is lenten tide. And so we spend the time in spring engaging in Lent. So that's where that began. So how do you like that? The majority of Lent falls in March, and March is when we have Lent. So we solved one mystery. Lent was actually initially established for new Christians. In the early church, when a new Christian was going to decide to be baptized, then they would spend 40 days and 40 nights preparing for their baptism. And if in the end they still wanted to follow Jesus, then on Easter Eve, they would be baptized as the sun was rising in the east, signaling a new day, a new era that was inaugurated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that actually preceded the way that we celebrate Lent now. And the powerful significance for them was to prepare for their vocation as Christians in the same way that Jesus prepared for his vocation as the Messiah. He was tempted by the enemy in the wilderness as he prayed and fasted for 40 days. And so that was how the early church would engage people if they wanted to become followers of Christ, take 40 days and 40 nights, fast and pray and decide, do I actually want to become baptized and become a new believer? So that's what the early church was doing. Later, the church then adapted the 40 days of Lent as a time of renewal, which is what we now do. And part of that was because at that point in church history, actually, they started baptizing all of the infants. So they were sprinkling them with water as they were born. And so then there was like, oh, well, we don't really need you to necessarily be baptized because we already baptized most of you. And so it became a time of renewal. So that's just a little history on the church and how we got to where we are. There's some fun stuff about this. The date of Lent changes every year, so it doesn't always land exactly on the exact same time. It follows the church calendar, which is based on the lunar cycle. So Easter Sunday, which celebrates Jesus' resurrection, is held on the first Sunday after the first full moon of spring. And since Lent lasts for 40 days, it's actually 46 days on the calendar, but you get to celebrate on Sunday because that's Resurrection Day. And so the church has taken Resurrection Day, and you break your fast on Resurrection Day and celebrate. But Monday through Saturday, then you do your fasting and praying in times of soul searching. So I think that's kind of fun. I like that. I like you fast for 40 days, but you get a little breaky poo. I like it. That's good. That's kingdom. All right. So one of the reasons that we land too on where we keep Lent and where we celebrate Easter, the resurrection, is that in the Church Council of Nicaea of AD 325, then they made the decision that we as the church should keep our celebration of Resurrection Sunday in line with the Jewish Passover in the Bible's timeline of Jesus' resurrection. So that's why we do what we do. Did anybody here learn anything new this morning? Kind of fun, right? Isn't it nice to know that we didn't just make this up like last week? I take a great comfort in being part of God's ancient family that he created all things, invited us into, and there have been other saints, mothers and fathers, those who have been walking in the faith that have handed down to us many of the things that we do now. And some of them are beautiful traditions that we got to embrace as a way to worship the Lord together. And you know what, guys? I think that's okay. I think it's all right for us to say, wow, you know what? The early church decided that it was a good idea to take 40 days and fast and pray before someone got baptized and decided to follow the Lord. Do we need to do that every time? No, but what a beautiful way to say, do I want to follow God? Am I going to take time to set aside everything else and decide, do I want to count the cost and follow him and be baptized on Easter, the day that Christ raised from the dead. That's wonderful. I love the pageantry. I love the meaning. I love the reality of that. And then as time went on, for us to say, hey, how about we as followers of Christ, let us take a time yearly. Jesus, when he was walking the earth, the disciples of or the Pharisees came and they were questioning him to say, hey, how come your disciples aren't praying and fasting in the same way that the disciples of John the Baptist are praying and fasting? And Jesus said to them, oh, well, right now they're not praying and fasting because the bridegroom is with them. In other words, this is a good time. It's party time. But at a certain point, I'm heading back out of here and the bridegroom won't be with them the way that he is. And he said this, and in that time, they will pray and fast. So I say that to encourage us that praying and fasting is a part of being a follower of Christ. It's part of the rhythms of worship and obedience that we follow Christ with. Why do we do it? Because it's really good for us. Secondarily, because Jesus did it. And thirdly, because Jesus said we would do it. So for those of you that might say, ah, oh, fasting stuff, that's weird and crazy. Well, take it up with Jesus because he said we would be doing it. I thought that was kind of cute and fun. I thought I'd get more than one laugh out of that. Anyway, maybe you're just getting sad because you're realizing like, oh, so it is a thing. Okay, here we go. You're just gearing up. Well, may the Spirit of the Lord strengthen you. Okay, so the way that Lent works is that we take 46 days from starting this Wednesday, and we fast then for 40 days. And if you want to be hardcore, you don't have to take a break on Sundays. If you don't want to rejoice and go ahead and partake of whatever it is that you're fasting on Sundays, you really don't have to. This is not about this is not a law. The law that Jesus gave us was love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, and a new command I give you, love your neighbor the same way that I love you. So that is the law that we live by and that we're fulfilling. But Jesus seems to encourage us that in having that same heart that Christ has for us, formed in us so that we can love people the way that he loves them. When he was here, he took times to pray and fast and said, I only see what I do my Father doing. I listen to hear what he's saying and then I speak it. Well, guys, we're called to be like Christ. And so I would commend to you that it is good for us in our walk with the Lord to take times where we consecrate ourselves and lay things aside so that we can renew our intimacy, our holiness with God, that there would be no breaks, that there would be no parts of our heart that have become hard, that there would be no places that are encroaching on our connection with God and others. And so I want to invite you to join in this season of Lent and set aside something and take the time that you would normally be doing that and take that time to begin to pray and make yourself available to the presence and person of Jesus, his scriptures, and whatever he might put on your heart to pray during that time. That's the invitation of Lent. And then we come together here on Good Friday. We meditate on the death of Christ, the price of what he paid. There's beautiful time that we locally do in this church, and we invite you to come. We have a wonderful, it's an hour long, but it's a wonderful time of meditating on the price and the fullness of what Christ did in his death, and then we come back, of course, on Resurrection Sunday, and we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who defeated death and sin and invites us into eternal life. So it's a fun season. So what do you think? Yen? All right, come on. So what might you set aside during this Lenten season, this springtide, this spring, this March? Well, here's a couple of suggestions of things that might be good to set aside. And by the way, you know, if you're really fiending, you could wait till Sunday and then just have a little taste, see what it tastes like. Media. How about media? That might be a really good one for some of us to take 40 days and say, Lord, I would rather hear what you have to say right now than anyone else. Okay. I thought I was going to get like a, yeah, but all right. People were loving that one. Lord, do your work. How about sweets? I'm actually going to be doing that this time, and I am terrified. Man, I loves me some sugar. I loves it so much. You think that this is what I am naturally because of Christ? And in part, yes. but also because of sweets. So you can be praying for me. So that's what I'm going to do this year. Another one might be alcohol. Take a break from alcohol and just say, Lord, I'm going to set aside this season, and I'm going to put that aside, and each time that I would normally sit back and enjoy a delicious Pilsner or an IPA or whatever, and I'm going to enjoy the delicious water of your word, and I'm going to wash with it, and I'm going to pray. Another one could be screens altogether, if you're really hardcore, not just media, all the screens. Whew, you will be like straight up holy in 40 days. But I think maybe some of us, that might be what the Lord says, like, hey, just come away with me. Come away with me. One that the Catholic Church does quite a bit of is meat. Setting aside meat and dairy and all of that. And that's beautiful, set aside. That's why we have Fish Fridays, by the way. Did you know that? Apparently fish doesn't count as meat. Don't tell the fish. They'd be kind of bummed. They're like, I thought these were mussels. They're like, nope, you're a fish and I can eat you. But whatever it is that God brings to mind, whatever God brings to mind, that you would set that aside. And the whole spirit behind this, guys, is to encounter and interact with and make ourselves vulnerable to the person of Jesus Christ. In those spaces, we're saying, Lord, I need you more than I need my daily bread. I need you more than I need somebody to tell me what to think and when to think and what information is important. That's if your screens are media, right? I need you more than I need sweets. You are sweeter than honey to me, Lord. And so the purpose of this is to allow God to grace us with Christ being formed in us. And we're specifically saying, I can't get there on my own, Lord. So I'm going to embrace my own weakness by actually giving myself less to work with and lean into my dependence on you. It's simple, but it's profoundly powerful. There's a quote I just heard recently, and it's this. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but things are a little bit wild right now. Did anybody notice it's kind of wild right now? Just a lot going on. Yeah, you're filling in your own blanks. You know, you've talked to people recently, noticed some things, saw some stuff. Okay, here's the thing. We are seeking to see people flourish in this life, are we not? I mean, even people that don't believe in the Lord God yet want to see people flourish in this life. And for us as believers, we want to see human flourishing. We want to see God's kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And that's what we're after. We're saying, God, we have found you to be the hope of the nations. We have found you to be the only source of true peace. We have found you to be the Savior. We can't save ourselves, and we have found that. And we want that, God, for everyone that we love. How many of you right now have somebody in your life that you're like, Lord Jesus, I just want you to walk into the room where they are, right? How many of you are just like, your heart just, every time this comes up, your heart has a certain ache that says, Jesus, walk into the room. We all have that. We all have that. And as we're pursuing that, there are so many wonderful, beautiful strategies. There's beautiful studies. There's beautiful prayers. There's beautiful ways. Alpha is amazing. And Restoration Ministries is amazing. And the Sozo Ministry is amazing. And churches, local churches, are amazing. And working together with communities of goodwill and good faith together to serve the city is amazing. And One Church One Day is amazing. These are all beautiful strategies and organizations and ways to engage. But how many of you guys know that if human excellence was enough, if programs were enough, we'd have already completed the task? There comes a point where human excellence is too small a thing. We need the presence of Jesus. We need the presence of Jesus. The Lord reminded me recently of when he commissioned me for this church, for what I'm doing now. I was 17 years old. I've shared this story before, so some of you have heard this, but I was 17 years old, and I had crossed a line that I said I would never cross. And I had crossed a lot of lines, y'all. I had crossed a lot of lines, and I was always negotiating with the Lord. I started out as a believer. I prayed a prayer when I was 5. I got baptized, I think, when I was 10. I vowed I would never do all the bad things that people around me did. And I might as well have just said, so therefore, I promise to do every single thing that everybody did. How many of you guys know vows don't work out super well in that way? And so I had crossed this line. I had crossed the line that I said I would never cross. And in that moment, in the state that I was in, I was very much under the influence. And I was trying to crawl into this couch. I was laying on a couch. I was staying somewhere, and I was trying to crawl into the cushions of the couch. And in my drug-induced state, that made sense to me. And I was saying to God at that point, God, I am worthless. I am worthless. I never keep my promises to you. And I just said, God, I don't want to exist anymore. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to keep ending up in this same place again anymore. And in my mind, I kept saying, I'm like dirt. I'm lower than dirt. And I just couldn't get out. I was just in a dark, dark hole, and I was literally trying to crawl into the couch somehow in order to cease to exist. And the Spirit of God, Jesus, just walked into the room, as it were, and he just spoke into my spirit, and he said, okay, you're dirt, you're lower than dirt, okay, you don't want to live anymore, you don't feel like you have a purpose and a reason to stay alive. And he said, if you are indeed dirt, could you help me by being something that others could step onto to bring him just a little bit closer to me? Could you help me with that? And I said, yeah, Lord, I could do that. And he said, all right, then live and do that. And it wasn't until I had been at Christ Center serving for 10 years, I was praying one day, and the Lord said, do you know when I commissioned you for this work? And I said, when? And he said, on that couch. A broken and a contrite heart is acceptable to the Lord. When he calls us, he doesn't call us according to our strength, according to our intentions, according to our intellect, according to anything other than that he loves us. And if we will surrender to him, he's like, I can work with that. I don't need you to bring anything except your very self. I don't want what you can do for me. I want who you are. I already know what I'm going to do, and I don't mind if you want to come help me. I'd love it if you want to come help me, but I don't need you, but I want you. And I want you to choose me, not for what you can do for me, but because you love me and you want to be with me. Do you see that? It's not what we can do for him. There's something about when Jesus walks into the room that everything gets real clear. All of the things the enemy built suddenly just starts crumbling. You know, there's that song, right? When you walk into the room, everything changes, right? Darkness starts to vanish. When he walks into the room, suddenly it becomes the best idea that you and I have ever had to be wrong. It's his kindness that leads to repentance. I love it when the Lord, are you guys with me? Don't you love it when Jesus shows up and you know it's him? He just shows up and he goes, Joshua, son, daughter, great news. I'm here and you're wrong. And you're like, oh, thank you. Because that's like literally the one thing we can do something about, right? You can't change other people. You can't change the world, but you can change your mind. And if you decide, Lord, your way's better. You're better. You're a better God than I am. You're a better planner than I am. You're certainly a better healer than I am. You're certainly a better savior than I am. And I'm so glad to find out that the way that I'm seeing it right now is wrong. And I'm telling you, when Jesus walks into the room, everything changes. And we need Jesus to walk in the room. And that's what I'm inviting us to do as a people right now, as a family, as a local church, is to take this next 46 days 40 of which were fasting. But that's the spirit of this, is to say, Jesus, I don't need more information per se. I don't need more excellence per se. I don't even need more good behavior, as it were, as the actual thing. What I need is for you to walk into the room and turn my heart back towards you. I'm willing to turn it, but I don't even know the things that I don't know. And so as we're setting aside our screens or our sweets or alcohol or whatever it is, we're setting those things aside and saying, God, I'm going to take this time and I'm simply going to say, teach me even what to pray right now. I'm just making myself available to say that I don't know anything other that unless you show up, nothing's going to change. Unless you show up in my life, my heart is going to stay hard. I believe that we are on the edge of another great awakening. I truly believe it. I'm not the only one that believes it. I think God believes it. But what we want to see is not a bunch of activity. What I believe God wants to see is hearts that are turned and are completely His. For His own sake, for who He is. Everything else that comes out of that, guys, comes out of a heart that's been changed by the Lord. Do you guys, I think everybody in this room probably has a story that's like mine. Yours might not have been a line that you crossed with drugs and you were crawling into a couch, but I think almost everybody here has a moment where you were trying to crawl into that couch and you came to the end of your own strength, your own smart, your own whatever, your own things that you tell yourself to keep doing, the things you want to do. We've had those moments. And if you haven't, I want to tell you, you will, and it's a gift. Not the drugs. I don't want you to do that. You don't have to try to kill yourself. I don't want you to do that. But I do want you to come to the end of your own excellence, your own strength, your own smart, your own judgment, your own everything, and say, and be able to come to that point and say, God, I'm broken. I don't have the power or the ability to change this. I need you to do that. And here's the thing that I want you to say, guys, right now. I'm just going to give you a little hint. We're invited to ask Jesus to bring us to that place. We can't even get ourselves to that place. Do you understand that? Do you understand that, like, this isn't about some sort of like moral heart calisthenics, if I can just get my heart positioned correctly. This is, I'm willing to be willing. Are you guys with me on that? Right? Lord, I'm willing to be willing. If you will give me the grace to know you as you are, I'd like to know you as you are. If you'll give me the grace to set aside my own attempts and power and efforts to sanctify myself that are outside of how you want to do this, I am willing that you would do that. I don't know how to get there, but I'm willing that you would get me there. And this is just us simply saying, Lord, I'm willing to be willing. So as we're going on this journey together, and we'll be talking some more about this, but this season is a season of absolute abandonment of our own efforts and embracing the work of Christ in us. It doesn't mean we don't do anything. He has no problem with us being obedient, guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't walk alongside of Him, but you understand that there's a difference in the place of motivation when we change to a place of surrendering to His work inside of us. And that is what then becomes an invitation for the world to see you walking with your Father, just like Jesus walked with His Father. Have you guys noticed how many people, what they would do to get into a room where Jesus was working? They're cutting holes in roofs. I mean, you got people like showing up that weren't even supposed to be blessed yet, that are like, Jesus, you need to bless me. And he's like, hey, I'm not even bringing that to the Gentiles yet. They're like, I don't care what your rules are. You need to take care of my daughter. And he's like, I like the way you think. I'm going to go ahead and heal her. People will do anything to get into a room where Jesus is working. And that's the invitation for us, is to say, Jesus, I've had it with all this other stuff. So just help me to get in that room with you. You're welcome in this room right now. So we're just taking that space without striving, but just faithfully inviting and making room for him. I truly believe that some of the greatest issues that you and I deal with, in at least in the West, right? We live here in the West, is distraction. Like we may not be very happy, but man, are we amused. But at the end of the day, you can feel the ache. At the end of the day, I'm not trying to be sensational, but I'm just saying that we have a generation that the enemy of our soul is saying, mine. But thankfully, we have a Messiah who says, mine. And he has given us the honor to start with our own hearts, but then also to contend for this generation. I heard a quote just recently, and it just blessed me so much. And it was this: In this kingdom, I am a son born of my mother's tears. You and I are born again into a kingdom. I guarantee you have a mom, a dad, a grandma, or a grandpa that cried you into this kingdom. I've coined a phrase recently that I want to pray tears of hope until we see this great awakening come. I want to pray tears of hope until we see the answer of Jesus coming into every room. Unless Jesus comes into the mental health pandemic that is sweeping the earth right now, then there's no hope. But if Jesus walks into that room, I'm telling you, things do begin to change. And I'm going to pray tears of hope into that. Not tears of bitterness, not tears of blame, not tears of anger. I'm going to pray tears of hope. I'm a son of my mother's tears. I know that much. I know that when I was on that couch, God was answering, Jesus was answering her prayers about me. I know that. I know that. And I'm praying tears of hope. There's a lot of sons and daughters, and I'm praying tears and hopes of hope for them. And I want to invite you. Can we be a people who set aside time and say, I'm going to pray tears of hope. I'm going to feel it. I'm not going to try to do it in some esoteric way, some zen whatever. No. Jesus was heard because of his obedience, and he would go away in quiet places and he would weep and let his heart break over the things where God needed to move. He did that, and we're invited to do that. But they are not tears of cynicism that Jesus was praying. We know that's a fact. They weren't tears of resentment. We know that's for sure. But we're invited to pray tears, I believe, of hope, knowing that hope does not disappoint us, because Christ will answer our prayers. And I want you and I to be the best moms and dads for this greatest generation that God is birthing now in our time. Gen Z, Gen Alpha, whatever they're going to name the next one, Gen Beulah. It means beautiful, but it's just fun to say. It doesn't sound beautiful, but I digress. It's beautiful. I want us to birth the next greatest generation. I believe in history, people will look back at this generation, all of us running together, and they will call it the next greatest generation. World War II, right? You had a group of people that they raised up to the challenge of their days, and we call them what? The greatest generation. They're not the last greatest generation that's ever going to exist. In God, we go from strength to strength and glory to glory. So that means every new generation is the new greatest generation.
That means that every generation is the new greatest generation. That means that every generation is the new greatest generation. Yeah, there, you're getting it. Now you get. I got this from Amy. I'm not seeing it. Not, give me that wig, JoJo. We're gonna call out to the Lord, but we're gonna pray tears of hope. We're gonna feel that. We're gonna allow the Spirit of Christ to be formed in us to be able to pray God's prayers over a generation and run together, because I believe God is poised to hear our prayers. You guys receive that?
Now, this whole talk is not yet sanctified because I haven't quoted any scripture yet. Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. Now we're getting legal. Here we go. This is the kind of fast day that I'm after. This is in the message. To break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, and being available to your own families. Do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. And then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, here I am. We need Jesus to say, here I am. And as we're taking this time, what we want to do is to allow ourselves to say, Lord, what are the things that I'm seeing that I no longer am moved by? God, as I'm setting aside these other amusements, these other beautiful gifts that you've given me, would you soften my heart so that I feel again the same things that you feel, so that I act upon the things you want us to act upon? This isn't just some internal thing. We're actually asking that your kingdom would come and your will be done in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, and in our state and nation. But we're seeking, God, I need Jesus. I need you to walk into my room first and begin to show me and begin to soften my heart again. I will tell you this. I have lost my compassion for the homeless. I need God to work in my heart. I used to have a very soft heart for the homeless. And for complex reasons, I'm not making excuses, I'm just saying it's a fact. For complex reasons, over time, I have lost something there. I need God to help me in this Lent to have compassion. Because at this point, I literally look over and go, we have so many services for you. And I just judge people based on, like, you're not at the mission, you're not at adult and teen challenge, you're not at the myriad different programs that we have. So the one thing I know about you is you must like being homeless and you must like drugs and get off my street, you're ruining my town. Now that is not fair, since all that I know is that they're on the street and they're a mess. I do know that, that's fair. Don't smell good, having a hard time in life. But that's all that I know. Are you guys, I'm confessing, all right? This is public confession. That's what I brought you here for. I need the Lord to help me, though, to begin to pray tears of hope again for these guys. I used to care. I still care. I support the Eugene Mission. I support Adult and Teen Challenge. I've become strategic in how I support the homeless. But now I'm mad at them if they don't go get the things that I'm generously supporting. I'm pretty sure there's a gap. Are you guys with me here? So I'm doing pretty good on one hand. But I know that God has not given me a high five for my heart attitude on those that are still stuck and not laying hold of those things. So Lord, in Lenten season, soften my heart again, because I'm reading the first part of Psalm 58 and I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm gonna be looking for a job next week. Okay, all right. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims. Oh, come on, Lord. All right. Quit gossiping about other people's sins. Media. Okay. If you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourself to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry.
You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew. Rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. Love that. Come on, where are my builders at? You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, and make the community livable again. This is the fast that God has chosen. So we're going to continue to revisit these themes as we go through now the next 40 days, 46 days, while we're fasting. But today, I commission you to go before the Lord and ask him, okay, Lord, I'm not part of a cult, but I am part of your family. And I have been challenged to consider joining into this rhythm of worship. What do you want me to do, Lord? And I commission you to give it a fair shake. The Lord may say to you, not this year, then you better obey him. But I think for most of us, he will probably give you something where he says, come join me on this rhythm. Come join me. And whatever he brings up to you, set that aside and begin to trade that time that you would spend there to begin to allow him to work Isaiah 58 in your heart as we pray tears of hope and let Christ walk into this place and into our cities. Amen. All right, stand to your feet if you will. And I just want to bless you. The prayer team is going to be coming forward. So if you need some more ministry time, boy, do we want to bless you in what you're doing, because you're up to good works changing the world in Jesus' name. We want to support that ministry you're up to, okay? So don't leave without a blessing. If you need prayer, you need breakthrough, or you just need more of what God's doing, please let us agree with you. Here we go. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I bless your health. I bless your communication. I bless your intimacy with the Lord, that you would hear his voice in your inner person. I bless you that you would receive the Holy Spirit afresh today so that you can understand the scriptures, so that you can walk with hope and power and strength. I bless your sleep. I bless your mental health. And I bless the ministry that God has called you to in your workplace, in your home, in your family, and in our cities. Amen.